Well, good morning again, everybody. My name is Pastor Aaron, and I have the joy of serving here at St. Paul's as one of our associate pastors on staff. And we as a staff have been praying and readying ourselves for this new sermon series that we're kicking off today all summer long, all fall. And we've been getting ready for a disciple's path. A disciple's path is a sermon series that helps us explore the questions of what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And what does it mean to live our faith every day as someone who wants to live in the light of Jesus' love? The title comes from a book that we're going to be studying together as a whole church called A Disciple's Path. It's a book written by Reverend Dr. Jim Harnish. He's a United Methodist pastor in Florida, and he's had a really amazing experience growing a church called Hyde Park United Methodist Church in Florida. And there's been a lot of pastors all over the country who have learned from what Hyde Park has done and tried to implement some of the steps that they have taken to help people come to know Jesus and know each other in community. So that's what we're going to be doing here at St. Paul's Rochester this fall, moving through the rest of October. It's a six-week series, and this is week one, so you're here on a great day. With this series comes a couple of cool things. The first weekend in November, Saturday, November 2nd, and Sunday, November 3rd, Jim will be here at St. Paul's leading some workshops and doing some teaching for us. And we're going to get to learn from him as a congregation on that Saturday. And then we're going to be all together for worship in the sanctuary on November 3rd, and Jim's going to preach. So I take the Sunday off so that I can learn and grow alongside you all, and so that we can all be together as the body of Christ. The other cool thing that is coming along with this series is a small group. We have opportunities for you all to get to know each other in small groups all throughout the year. But a couple times a year, around the holidays, around Christmas and Easter, and especially in the fall, we make a special effort to get new people involved in small groups. So Open Door has its own small group, and we'll be meeting on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Pastor Rick Kress and his wife Marilyn lead that small group, and we would love for you all to be a part of it. If you've been to Open Door a few times and want to know a little bit more, want to get more connected, want to meet some new people, this is a great, easy entrance into that next step for you. If you are someone who can't make it on Tuesday nights but would love to be a part of it another night of the week or perhaps during the daytime, we have six other groups going on that you can get connected with, and we'd love to have you participate with us. If you're somebody who says, I work full-time, I've got kids, my life is crazy, we understand, and we'd still love for you to grab a copy of the book and read it. You can get a copy from me, or you can call the church office, and we'll get you hooked up, okay? Sounds good. All right, so as we launch into this disciple's path, the first thing we're going to talk about is this word grace. I had the kids spell it out for us this morning, because even though it's a five-letter word, there is so much packed in to this word. There's a lot that comes with it. There's a lot that we want to understand about it. The Bible talks about it. Jesus talks about it. There's theology books written about it. And so I want to show you one place in the Bible, in the New Testament, where this word grace appears. And that's from the 15th chapter of Acts, verse 11. It's an interesting scripture verse because Jesus is talking with some disciples, and they're arguing, they're going back and forth and saying, Jesus, what about this? Jesus, do I need to do this to get grace? Jesus, what about people who are like this? Do they get grace? Jesus, I'm better than them, so do I get a little more grace? And he starts off, he says, no. No. Listen, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. And that's the basic premise. That's the whole summary of the New Testament. That's our belief as United Methodists, that there's nothing we do, nothing we can say, nothing we can walk away from that's going to make us earn or lose or repay God's grace. That we are saved just as we are by that amazing gift of grace. So let's talk about it a little bit. We're all on this journey of life and faith, and we have experiences in our life and in our faith that cause us to stop, to pause, to wonder, is this God's grace working in my life? Am I making this possible just on my own, or is there a force that is greater than me that is at work in this moment, in this situation, in this relationship? Those moments, those people, those situations are indeed God. I would say yes. There is a force at work in the world that is greater than us, that's calling us to be just as we are, that's loving us, and that is welcoming us, and that is moving us beyond what we could ever imagine ourselves to be. The gift of grace is, for United Methodists, this central tenet of our faith. We believe that grace is a free gift. It's free. There's no strings attached. We believe that it's available to all people and for all people. No ifs or ands or buts about it. There's no boundaries. There's no exceptions. There's no limits to who gets to receive this amazing gift from God in Jesus Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, he showed us how much he loves us, and he poured himself out for us so that we could see the extent to which God's love will go to reach people like me and you, our children, our families, the least of these, those who are broken and hurting and suffering. Jesus did all of that so that we could know that we are never alone, that we are enough, that our lives matter, and that we are loved to the ends of the earth. We've got a lot of fancy vocabulary words to talk about grace in the United Methodist Church. I learned them all in seminary and then promptly set them aside. Because when it all comes boiled down to it, we don't need to know exactly about prevenient grace and justifying grace and sanctifying grace and perfecting grace. What we need to know is that God loved us before we fell in love with God. That God always loves us and always will. That this free gift is available to all people no matter what. That this gift of grace is always reaching out to us, always pursuing us, always saving us, always taking us to the place, from the place where we are to the place where we want to be. Perhaps you are at a place in your life where you can look to individuals who have made an impact in your life. You might know someone by the first name of grace, or you might know someone who lives their life in the light of God's grace. Someone who goes the extra mile, someone who is always loving, someone who is humble enough to say, I made a mistake and I need to ask for forgiveness, or someone who has offered that gift to you. We're all on a journey of life and faith, and so as we think about those people, we also think about those moments in our life when we have received grace ourselves. I think about a time in my life when I was in fifth grade and my parents were separated. They were still married, but they weren't really getting along and they weren't living together. And I had a father-daughter dance coming up with my Girl Scout troop. And it was one of those moments in my life when I was a young preteen girl and I wanted to go to this dance with my dad, and I wanted to have the whole kit and caboodle experience of getting a new dress and having my hair curled and putting on chapstick with glitter in it, you know. Right? The whole kit and caboodle experience. Some of you have just come from homecoming this weekend in our local Rochester High School, so you know what that's like. And there was a Sunday school teacher in my local church in Kalamazoo, Millwood United Methodist, who knew that I was in Girl Scouts, and some of the other girls in my Sunday school class were too, and we were talking about it and praying about it and wondering what songs we would request from the DJ. I mean, it was just a thing, okay, this father-daughter dance. And one of the prayer requests that I gave to my Sunday school teacher that day was that I would look through a magazine when I got home and find out how I was going to do my hair. because I wasn't sure that my mom was going to be available to do it with my parents being separated. And so after church, unbeknownst to me, she had a conversation with my dad and made arrangements to come to our house to help me get ready. Not only that, she was willing to take me shopping to the local JCPenney department store and help me pick out the dress. This Sunday school teacher, her name was Ruth, she was a gift of grace in my life. And as I reflect back on my own Christian journey, as I reflect back on the people who matter to me as people who taught me what God's love looks like, I think about Miss Ruth. I don't remember the Sunday school lesson that she taught that day or what scripture passage we read. I don't remember exactly what curriculum we were using or anything like that. But what I remember is sitting in my bathroom on the toilet with the lid down, of course, and Miss Ruth curling my hair and talking with me about the dance. What I remember is the care and the concern that she took in my life as a church kid, as somebody who needed a little extra attention, a little extra grace, a little extra love during a really hard time in the life of our family. I don't know if Miss Ruth remembers that experience. I don't know if she would name it as her going above and beyond to reach out to little fifth grade Aaron. But what I do know is that it made a difference in my life, and therefore it made a difference in the kingdom of God. As someone who needed grace, received a gift from this amazing woman. The thing about grace is that when we receive it, we're asked to respond to it. We're asked that when we receive an amazing, extravagant gift, we're asked to do something in response to it. Can you think of a moment in your life, maybe it was a birthday gift or an anniversary gift or a Christmas gift that you received that was just so amazing that the next day you wanted to get out your paper and pen and write a thank you note, or you wanted to call a friend and talk about the gift, or perhaps you were able to enjoy it somehow in community with your family or your friends. That is the way of this gift of God's grace, that when we have received it, we acknowledge the gift, we say, thank you, Jesus, for this gift, and then we share the gift with others. So if there's some takeaways today, I want to share that we need grace, we receive grace, and we can share grace. Why do we need grace? Why do any one of us need grace? Well, I need grace because life is hard and sometimes people suck. That's the honest truth, right? Society is cruel and the world is complicated. Mistakes are made every day. I make mistakes. People say and do things that hurt. Reconciliation takes work, and we participate in this thing we call sin as individuals and as a society. Just this week, I was at an apple orchard with my son Michael, who's turning 4 in a couple of weeks and acting emotionally and behaviorally appropriately for his age, shall we say. And we had had a full morning at the Westview Orchard. So, you know, we took the wagon ride out to pick apples. We picked a half a peck each, and that was quite an adventure. And then we went back to pet the mama and the baby goats that were there. They're very adorable, but not as cute as the ones at Methodist Children's Home Society. And then we got in line for the bakery to, of course, watch the cider go through the press and taste those amazing cider donuts with all the cinnamon sugar on top, right? You've had these, surely. You have? Okay, you're with me. All right. They're amazing. Unforgettable. Life-changing. Grace-filled, you could say. So we were, thank you. So we're outside after we've had this full morning, and I pour Michael a glass of cider, and he eats his donut in rapid time, and I quickly finish mine as well. And he asks for another, and I look at my watch, and it's like 11:45. I say, Bubba, I really don't want you to have another donut, because then you might not eat your lunch. And he says, but I'm really hungry. It's like, oh, crap, I have to feed you. Okay, so you can have one more donut, and then we're going to go home, and we're going to have lunch. Okay, fine. So he has another donut, and it's like if you give a moose a muffin, if you give a kid another donut, he's going to want more cider to go with it. So, okay, we pour another glass of cider. And by this point, he's had two glasses of cider and two of these cinnamon apple donuts, right? He is jazzed about life. He has totally overdosed on sugar and all things good in the world. And I'm starting to get the shakes and twitch a little bit myself. And then as I'm cleaning up our mess and I'm packing our bag and getting ready to go home, and he has to go to the bathroom, and so we go to the bathroom. And then before we get back to the car, he just starts going nuts, you guys. Like, a three-year-old, almost four, full-on, like, racing around the area where we were standing and not listening to Mommy anymore and losing his marbles. And I catch him, and I hold him, and I tell him what we're going to do and how to transition and what we're going to do. And then he's like, no, 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 and just wiggles out of my arms. And the whole situation just kind of spirals out of control from there. So then, we have a full meltdown, basically near the parking lot of Westview Orchards, where there's like thousands of people, and I get to display some of my best parenting skills. Some of my best parenting skills, because at this point, I'm exhausted, I'm starting to get a little hungry, and I'm also frustrated with him, and I say, Michael, you're not making good choices, we need to go to the car right now, and I'm getting all my things together, and then this man comes up saying, I forgot my purse, and it's like, oh, crap. Okay, so then I get the purse, and then we're walking to the car, and he wiggles out of my arms again, and he just starts running through the parking lot. And so, with my best parenting skills, in my nicest mommy voice, I say, Michael, Joy is up running right now. I scoop him up in my arms, and I take him in this, like, football hold, which is really not practical at all. But I'm walking him through the parking lot in this football hold. He's kicking and screaming and pulling on me, and it's really uncomfortable. And we get to the car. I set down our apples. I set down our cider. I set down the bag of donuts and my purse and everything else. We're both at our wit's end, and then I can't find the keys. Oh, boy. The keys. Well, some very nice man who works for Westview Orchards comes trailing behind me. I think you forgot these. Thank you very much. So we get him in the car. And somehow, in the process of getting my son, this wiggly, angry, squirming octopus of a child, in the car, I managed to pinch his finger in the car seat buckle. So then, this angry, overtired, starving child is also in pain, and our morning has gone kaput. Just kaput. So when I say we need grace because life is hard and people suck, count me in, okay? Like, this marathon of a morning, this marathon of a story is all true. It's all true. And when we get in the car, all buckled in, I get him calmed down. We wipe his tears. I say I'm sorry. We're driving away from Westview Orchard back to the city of Rochester. I hear Michael take a deep breath in his car seat. And this prompts me to do the same thing. And I say, Michael, I'm sorry that was so hard. I had a really good morning with you at Westview Orchards. Thank you for going to pick apples and eat donuts with me. He says, yeah, I liked it too. I especially liked it when I sat on your lap and drank cider and ate the donuts. But I'm sorry for running. I'm sorry for running away. That is grace right there in that moment. when we can come back together and reconcile the situation that caused us harm, that caused us pain, immeasurable pain. When we can find a way to make things right, that is the gift of grace. Now, I know in that moment, I was acting as a mother, but I was also acting as a person who believes that this gift of grace is bigger than myself. That God, through the gift of Jesus Christ working in my life, is making it possible for me to be strong, is making it possible for me to do the right thing even when it's really hard, is making it possible for me to apologize to my almost 4-year-old who's just tired and hungry and on a sugar high. All these things are possible because of the gift of grace. And Jesus offers us this invitation quite regularly. Jesus says, the invitation is here. My grace is here. It's here for the taking. It's here for you. It's here each and every day. You can receive it. You can receive this gift that only God can give. And always remember that there is more grace in God than there is sin in us. There is more grace in God than there is sin in us. So as we receive this incredible gift, we open ourselves up. We open ourselves up to this amazing possibility that second chances are real. We open ourselves up to the comfort and peace that God can bring. We open ourselves up to the reality that we are enough, that we are more than our mistakes, that we are loved completely, wholly, unconditionally by this good and gracious God. We also open ourselves up to the possibility of giving that grace away, of sharing it with others, that we might be married to, that we might be in relationship with our children, with our spouses, with our coworkers, with our students at school, with our neighbors down the street, with strangers that we don't even know. We share grace because we are called to love God and love others. And Dr. Harnish talks a lot about this in his book, In the Disciples' Path, in chapter 1. So we'll be talking about it through the remainder of the week as we launch these small groups. He talks about how as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're followers. And that means that we're people who are in relationship with Jesus and who follow him with our feet. We don't just follow him with our eyes and watch and observe what he does passively, but we make Jesus' actions active in the world by living them out in our own lives, by sharing his grace with others. We're called to live our faith, to respond to the needs of the world. And this world needs a whole lot of grace, y'all. I need a whole lot. You all need a whole lot. And the world needs a whole lot. And so we can offer that gift to the world. We as United Methodists are uniquely poised and positioned to be able to say, God's free gift is available to all people, to you and you. It's like Oprah, you and you and you and you and you and you and you. It's available to all people. So as we continue this journey, as we continue walking as disciples of Jesus Christ, as we continue following this one who makes grace possible, as we continue living our lives in light of Jesus's love, we do so knowing that we need grace, that we can receive this gift, and that we can share it with others. Each and every day, my challenge to you is to go from this place with your eyes wide open, to find places where you need grace. Where do you need it in your life, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your work? How can you respond to it? How can you open yourself up to receive that gift? To say, yes, Jesus, your promises are true. I know that this gift is for me, and today I'm going to accept it as such. I'm going to set down the burden of my guilt and of my shame and of the fact that I never get it right. And instead, I'm going to open myself up to the possibilities that you have for me. And then how can you share it? How can you offer God's grace to another person? How can you open the door for new possibilities, for second chances, for new life to emerge in your own midst, in your own family life, in your own community, in the circles where you live and play and work. This gift is available for all, so let's talk about it. Let's show people what it looks like. Let's make it happen. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the ways that your gift of grace is made manifest in our lives. I thank you, O God, for the reminder that you love us and that there is nothing we can do to separate ourselves from your love. That there is no sin that is beyond reconciliation. That there is nothing that will make your grace go away. It's always pursuing us. It's always saving us. It's always sustaining us. Oh God, help us to accept this gift for ourselves. Help us to share it with others. Help us to know that each and everything we do as we walk our own disciples' path is following in the footsteps of your Son Jesus, who taught us to love, who taught us to serve, and who taught us to share your grace. Amen.